start today by tragically noting that I smashed my car yesterday. Yes, I did. I was fine. Everybody was fine. I was going to get a falafel. I was in the middle of work, and I was like, there's this really good falafel place across from Shari Zedek. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's unbelievable falafel. So I said, okay, I'll drive, we'll get a falafel. Most expensive falafel I've ever had. There was this SUV kind of like sticking out, and I went to turn around him, and it wasn't like, I wasn't talking on the phone, I wasn't playing with my iPod, it wasn't nothing. I just misjudged and scraped the corner of his car with the entire side of my car, which are made out of paper now, apparently, because as you will all now look on the way out, You'll notice, like, and it's really, like, nasty. So we have to get it fixed. Yeah, right over here.
It's a pretty new car.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Oh, we'll get it fixed. What are you going to do? I'm going to get it fixed. That's why we have insurance. So I said to Rena afterwards, I was really frustrated, as you might all well imagine. And I said, can't we have, like, I feel like I can't ever have nice things. Remember I said that? And Rena said, what, like, what about your house and your family and your children? And when I said that, and she said that back to me, it just kind of like, whoa, like, I should probably stop talking now, you know? And I say this because it really slapped me in the face for comment. It was a very appropriate comment that all too often, and I think that this is what I want to focus on, we don't appreciate the things that we have until it's too late. And we fail to see the great things that we have in the myriad of challenges that we have. But because I dented my car significantly, then nothing is good. You know, so I dented my car, and it'll be a kapara, and I'll have to take care of it, and it'll be a pain, and it'll cost me some money. You know, but what about the, do we see the broader perspective? Do we see the broader picture? And all too often, we allow ourselves not to. We force ourselves not to. Instead of really seeing the broader picture and focusing on the blessings that we have. And I think that's a very good lesson. I was trying to think, like, what could I say? We're in the 9 days, we're in the Tishat Yamim, and it's a time of sadness, and a time of mourning, and a time of Korban. And that's true. So I think that sometimes the way we have to combat the Korban is by focusing on the things that we do have, on the positive that we have, and the good that we have. Because, as we will see, when you focus on the negative, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And as we will also see, right, this idea of focusing on the positive, it's not just in attitude. It also has to be in action. And we're going to talk about that as well. I want to go into the notion of what does it mean to be a person of emunah, a person of faith. Right, what does it mean to have to really have faith? I'm getting hot. Is it a little toasty? No? Yeah? Yeah. Do your thing, okay? Yeah, you press a little button on the little thing. No? Especially when you drink the coffee, like, you know, you're like, you feel it on the inside. And then, okay. It's Isla, can you close the window?
You know, I bought a new car here at Toyota.
Yeah?
And literally the next day.
The
next day, there's scratches on it.
You can't do it.
I went shopping, took some. They said to me, like, are you upset? This is a brand new car.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a car. Zecher L'Chorban.
That's what you said, Zecher L'Chorban. I was upset.
It shouldn't be perfect. It's Zecher L'Chorban.
100%.
I didn't need one of those things.
What?
It's
very hard. Because
thing, you know?
That you're absolutely correct. But you want it to be nice. Like, certainly cost enough to be nice. Anyway, we're going to start with Perek Aleph in Dvarim. Pasuk, we'll start with Chafvav. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is going over the Chet HaMeraglim. But he's going over it from a very interesting and unique perspective. So we're going to reread some of the Psukim, and then we're going to stop on a couple of the really fascinating details in the text, which I think have a lot to offer to us. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'lo avitem la'alot, do not want to go up, v'tamru et pi Hashem Elokechem, limrot, Mary, what is Mary? Vatamru et pi. What does that mean?
Rebelled.
Oh, okay. Mary is rebellion. What else could it mean? Rebel, very good. What else could it mean? From the word, what else is it? There's another shoresh of mar. Very good. You embittered my mouth. You know that phrase? You left a bitter taste in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Really? This is the reaction you have? You know what I'm saying? We expect, like Hashem says, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. And what are the Jews supposed to say?
Great.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. And instead they're like, well, can we check? And we don't know. Right? Yeah, can we check? We don't know. Okay, just leave some bitter taste in your mouth. Really? That's your reaction? That's your response? That's all you can do? Okay. Vateragnu ba'ahalechem vatomru. Vateragnu. I don't even know what that means. Vateragnu. Somebody give me a translation from the Ragel, I guess. You slandered. Okay? From the Ragel. That's Rashi. That's clearly Rashi's translation. Okay? And vatomru. And you said, besinat Hashem otanu. In his hatred for us, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Latet otanu biyad ha'amari lahashmidenu. Right, to give us in the hands of the Amori to destroy us. Ana, anachnu olim. Please, we are now going. Achenu, our brothers, heimasu et levavenu leimor. They melted your hearts to say, Am gadol v'rami menu, amim gidolot b'tzvot b'shamayim, v'gam b'nei anakim ra'inu shama. You never believe what we saw there. There's huge cities, there's adversaries, there's enemies. Isn't it a second language? First they left a bitter taste in our mouth, and then the second language, Heimasu et Livavenu. What is Heimasu et Livavenu? They melted our hearts. This is a very powerful language. Okay, they melted our hearts and left a bitter taste in our mouth. Chavtet, Va'omar Aleichem. Stay with us. Might as well. She's going to be here anyway, okay? If you sit the whole day worrying about it, it's not going to help. Va'omar aleichem. And I said to you, lo ta'artzun, v'lo tirun mehem. Do not ta'artzun. Help me out here, Tammy. And I said to you, 29.
Do not be broken.
Do not be broken. All right? And do not fear them. Good. Hashem elokeichem ha'olech lifneichem. Hu yilachem lachem. God who walks before you, He will fight for you. Everything that you already saw in your own eyes. Ubamidbar has asher ra'ita et asher ra'ita, asher na'asacha Hashem Elokecha, ka'asher yisa ish et b'no, b'chol haderech asher alachtem ad bu'achem ad ha'makom hazeh. You were in the desert. You saw that Hashem carried you, ka'asher yisa ish et b'no. Like a what?
Like a father carries his son.
Like a, does a father carry his son?
Like footsteps. You know that.
We'll get there in a second. Very good. We're going to get there. What do you think the footsteps is from?
Here.
From the Zohar. Yes. Yes. Very good. Everybody knows the footsteps? We'll get there in 1 second. We'll get there in 1 second. Okay? When does a father carry the son? Who carries the son?
Mother
carries the child. When does a father carry the son?
When the mother gets tired.
When the mother gets tired. Right? When the mother dies? When the child dies?
No.
Ew. That's not the imagery we're looking for here. Okay, when does a father carry the child? Okay, think of the imagery. When would you have, like, normally the mother, like, takes care of the child. When does a father carry the child? So think of, like, the imagery I think of is when there's a danger. When the father and child normally walk together. Okay, but let's say they're going through the river. They're traveling through a river. They're traveling through a place where the child can't walk by himself. So normally the father will say, you know, you can heck it, walk. But if the child really can't make it, right, then the father will carry him on his shoulder, will take him, will help him through. Okay, so Hashem is carrying you like the father who carries the child. And again, like, you're just very struck by Moshe's imagery. This is no longer like, you know, Zokukata Torah. Now he's really trying to motivate us. He's trying to move us with the ideas in our minds. Okay, so says, you have to see, Rashi has, just look at Rashi for a second. Kamoshi pi Rashi Eitzel, as I explained regarding Vayisam Alach Elohim Haolech Lifnei Machane Yisrael, Rashi says, if you see with Rashi, Mashal Mahalach Baderech Ubno Lefanav. There's a Mashal of someone who's walking and his child is in front of him. Bo Listim Lishvoto. So there's a certain mashal, the listim come in. So Rashi says there's an imagery here. I want to read you a different mashal that I have in my Midrash book that I always recommend. The Midrash says the following. Okay? It says the Midrash the following. This is from the Psikta Rabbati. Re'ei shtut shehaya biadam. Look how foolish they were. Hashchina haita sovelet otam. the Shechina was so velet.
Suffering
them. Right? He took care of them. Al anane kavod umukafim behem. Right? Through the anane kavod and we're surrounding them. The amud anan holech lifnehem. And the amud anan, right, the pillar of clouds is walking before them. Uva midbar asher ra'ita asher nasa'acha Hashem, and as it says, Hashem is carrying you. V'heim omrim, and what did the Bnei Yisrael say? Ayesh Hashem bekirbeinu? Is God really here? Meaning, they're living in a time of the most spiritual existence possible. What are they eating?
Man.
Where are the water coming from?
Rock.
Right, maybe this is before the man. Right? There's this pillar of fire that's leading them. They're surrounded by these clouds of glory. And what are they wondering? Where is God? Where is God in all this? Now, we think that this sounds silly. Is
but
it really
if you
so
were
silly?
Walking for 3 days without.
No,
we still do.
By the way, where is it? Anybody know where the quote of Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu is? When is it from? Right, God tested us. So we should wonder Hayesh because we wondered Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu im ayin. Right, from where? I don't remember. Okay. Nunu. What? From May Masa, the first one. Right. That Hashem gave them water in that way to test them. Because they were wondering, is God among us? It's not that they were walking without the water. I think the problem is they were walking and there was water.
But it was bitter.
No. What do I mean? As soon as, this is a very interesting phenomenon. As soon as a person assimilates a certain situation, right, what do? Take it for granted. Right? As soon as the situation, right? The first time you would see the Anane HaKavod, wow, this is unbelievable, this is incredible. But after the second time, the third day, and you get up every day and the clouds are there. So what do you begin to realize? Oh, there are clouds.
Nature.
What?
It's just nature.
Is that interesting? Mm-hmm. I use that word, right? What is nature?
Hashem's
existence in the world that.
We see.
That we take for granted, that we assume. Right? There are very, very famous midrashim about that, about this idea. That, like, you know, there's a midrash that says that I don't remember the name of the rab, but that they didn't have enough oil to light.
So Rabbi Hanina Mendoza.
Thank you.
We just did it in the shir yesterday.
Very good, Sal. Go ahead.
That he came home on a Friday afternoon, and his daughter was crying. She was really upset, and he said, "What are you upset about?" And she said, "We don't have any oil for the Shabbos candles. We only have vinegar." And so the idea was that she was assuming that it was something inherent in the oil that was making it light that wouldn't make vinegar light, as opposed to
Vinegar generally doesn't light.
Well, the question is, why doesn't vinegar light? And Rabbi Hanina Mendoza understood that the reason vinegar doesn't light is because Hashem doesn't make it light.
Right.
And so he said to her, he who tells the oil to light will also tell the vinegar to light. And so they lit the vinegar, and the interstate lit a whole Shabbos, and they used the light for their Havdalah candle.
Thank you. Very nice. From Penny Mendoza. Very good. So the idea, though, being, right, the things, I don't think anybody want to try it, I doubt the vinegar would light.
But in that case, you should have to change science and nature.
Right. What does that mean?
Can.
Sure. Meaning, the properties, of course we can explain scientifically, but who made those scientific properties? Who made it that oil lights and vinegar doesn't light? But we obviously take it for granted that vinegar doesn't light and that oil does. So because we take it for granted, we assume that it's always true and that it's always there. So if you have a pillar of fire walking in front of you, right, you begin to assimilate that and say, that's nature. And you take it for granted. And when the man starts to come down, for 40 years, if you're eating the man for 40 years, that's nature. That's what it is. That's where does food come from? I mean, don't get me wrong, like sometimes I'll walk down the streets here, and you see like these, you know, the grapefruit trees, like along the path. There's more fruit on those things than there are leaves. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's beautiful. I love watching those fruit trees because, like, who made the fruit come? It's incredible. It's unbelievable. And you have to, like, stop on that and not take it for granted sometimes. And he says, this is what the Midrash says. They're in the middle of the Midbar, and they're wondering, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. Is Hashem in our midst or not? Now, one could argue the exact same thing today. The exact same thing today. Like, who protects us? What protects us? Well, we have an army. Well, we have, you know, missile systems and technology and and skilled soldiers. And all of that is true. All of that is true. Right? But there's also a Yad Hashem that works to protect us. Or Chalila does not. Right? And as soon as you take that Yad Hashem for granted, that's when you're in real trouble. Because that's when you're in danger of losing it. And I think that you have to, this is the challenge. The challenge is to see the combination. We do our part. But at some point, Yad Hashem is there. Like, I was trying to think, just going back to this, like, crash yesterday. It was just so weird. Like, how many times have you parked? Like, on an angle. We've all done it, like, a million times. Like, parked on an angle. And for whatever reason, this time, I just didn't get it right. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I really have come to the conclusion, I was not meant to have the 1,300 shekels that's going to cost me to fix this car. I was not meant to have that. And I feel, honestly, just between all of you and me, and everyone's listening on the internet, that I could have spent this money better. Like, that I haven't been as good about giving tzedakah that I should have been giving. And if I had done that, then maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending me a message. You're not meant to have that money. And you have a decision about what you're going to do with it. There's also a midrash about that, but you don't know that one about Elisha, whatever. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works it all out. You're supposed to get X. You got this job, you got that job. What are you going to do with it? Where does it come from? You know what I'm saying? And if you're not going to do with it what I wanted you to do with it, then it won't come. You lose it another way. You'll have to dig up your kitchen. You know what I'm saying? You'll have to figure out another way. Not this time, Baruch Hashem. You know what I'm saying? Right, so he wasn't meant to have that money. You know what I'm saying? Right, exactly. But that's exactly the point. Yeah. It doesn't just happen.
And but thank God things, you put in the second guess line, otherwise we wouldn't have known about the first.
Who knew? That's absolutely correct. Okay, so I'm going to read you the Midrash. Okay. Amar Rabbi Berech Yaakov Berebi, Mashal Lama Dover, let me give you a Midrash. A Mashal. The Gibor Shahayam Halech Baderech. You might recognize this story. There was a Gibor who was walking on the way. Ubeno Al Ktefo. With his child on his shoulders. V'haya molicho bashuk. And he's walking with him in the shuk. V'haya ben ro'ed davar shecheiz v'yamer le'aviv kachli. The son is on the shoulders of the father, and he says, Dad, see that lollipop? Get it for me. And he got it for him. Ulo kechlo. Pam arishon. You never did that? No. Pam arishon. First time? Yeah. Sheni? Fine. V'ashlishu b'no ktefo. Dad, there's a bakery. Go, can I have it? Great. Each time the father, sure, son, buys the thing, passes it on up. Besof, ra'a haben ish echad. A few minutes later, the guy sees a certain person. The guy sees a man, right? And he says, he looks at the man. Ah, we found the owner. Good. Okay. Okay. We saw the man. And he says, Amarlo, ha'im re'ita la'aba? So the son sitting on the shoulders, and he sees the guy, and he says, excuse me, sir. Have you seen my father? What does father do? Right. Miyad detalo aviv v'hishloch chishlicho la'aretz. Father says, you don't know where I am? I'll put you down and now you'll find out where I am. Amar lo ha'av, kol derech ha'iti to'ancha al ketefai. V'achshav amarta ra'ita la'aba. You're on my shoulders and you say, where am I? Kachu animshav. Yisrael kol ha'derech ha'yutu unim al ananei ha'kavod. They're like in the middle of the ananei ha'kavod. Right? And then they wonder, v'hem amrim, ha'yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, miyad, immediately, v'yavo amalek. Right? The frightening thing is, the lack of faith invites a challenge to it. When you act with faith, this is the paradox. When you act with faith, when you have the faith, Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy with that faith. But when you question the faith, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you question? I'll give you a reason to question. Which is the conundrum of having faith. Because you tell people, have emunah! And you say, well, how am I supposed to do it? That's not going to work. No, do it anyway. Does it always work? It's a question. The people who have emunah say, yeah, it worked out. The people who don't have emunah say that it didn't work out. It's always a catch-22. So is that the footsteps? Is that the footsteps one? Is that pretty much it? About seeing the footsteps, and whose footsteps are that?
There's a man walking on the beach, and he sees two sets of footsteps, and sometimes one set, and the one set he notices are at the hardest times of his life.
Right, and so he says Hashem, where are you?
And he said, those are the tents I carried.
Okay, so that's based on the same mashal, exact same mashal. And I think that it's so, it's very powerful in our lives, especially in the times where we go through personal struggles or national struggles, you know, where things are hard and it's hard that, you know, the Amunah is what's supposed to carry us. It has the ability to carry us if we let it in a way. And this doesn't mean that we don't have to do our part. But when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, and we stop taking the things that we took for granted, and we see all the things that we have, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know, then you know, if you see me, then I'm able to appear, as opposed to the opposite. Says the Torah, back to Lamed Bet. An unbelievable pasuk. U'badavar hazeh einchem ma'aminim ba'Hashem Elokeichem. In this matter, you did not believe in Hashem your God. Which only leads us to one critically important question about this pasuk.
It's not the way that you translated it right now. Badavar hazeh einchem ma'aminim, that's present tense.
Oh,
not
sorry.
That you didn't believe.
Well, Moshe's talking to the people, sorry. Okay. In this thing, you do not believe in Hashem your God. You mean he's talking to us too? Ouch.
But I think he's also talking to them.
Now, you, oh, now. Meaning, ooh.
Not just back then, but according to this pasuk, he's a little bit giving them to Chai, saying to them, and this is one thing that you still don't have right.
Ouch. That's, yeah, that's even stronger than I thought. He says, you still, I mean, you think he's saying, and I think you're right. You still don't believe in this mesh, in this issue. Okay. That wasn't my question. What's my question? Anybody want to take a stab at what my question is?
What's the Badavar Hazeh?
That's exactly my question. What's the Badavar Hazeh? What don't they believe? I'm going to present you two possibilities. The first one, of course, is Rashi. Take a look at Rashi on Badavar Hazeh. Rashi says, Badavar Hazeh, Shehu Mavtichachem La'aviachem El Haaretz. Right? I promise to bring you to the land. Enchem ma'aminim bo. You don't really believe it. Meaning, like, that's a little scary, the way Mimi, you're saying. And I think there's a lot of truth.
It fits in the context.
Why is Moshe yelling at them? Their parents, that's why I read it in the past. Moshe's going over a story. Moshe's telling them what happened. So he's saying, you didn't believe. That's why I translated it that way. But the way you're saying it, Moshe's saying, not only did they not believe, you don't really believe it, do you? That's like, that's a lot.
Well, they're one that
sort of fits.
What?
Then how come Hashem didn't go into Israel?
He did take them to Israel. I mean, but Moshe's, I mean, what maybe I think his goodness would say is, he's really nudging them along. He's trying to say, you really don't, you don't, you have to work on your Amunah. You have to strengthen your Amunah. You have to really believe.
It's not just saying what happened in the past. It's saying, and by the way, this is something that you also need to work on, you know.
Especially now because they're going to Eretz Yisrael, because they're now working for there. They have to fight for it. So there is the natural element of it. So
see, this is,
realize that their natural is still governed.
This is
the
struggle
God.
That I have in these two teams. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is saying something that they know is intuitively not altogether, how should we say this, true in the factual sense. Moshe is saying, just as Hashem fought for you in the desert, so too he will fight for you when you go conquer Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but
that's not true. Why?
Because people die.
Well.
And because they also have to do the fighting.
Right. Okay? Meaning it's not just like. Because in the Midbar, Hashem did everything. Hashem did absolutely everything. But here, Hashem is saying, I'm not going to do everything. You have to do your part. Now here's the question, Mimi. If they had had perfect faith, would people have died? What? In war, in the battle. Or you say, no, that's ridiculous. That people die in battle. It's a natural way. Although
yeah,
I will say...
The side of that is saying that anyone who dies in a battle
what?
Is someone who didn't have faith. Like you're treading a very...
dodgy...
Say
I would rather I want to broaden it and say that it's more of a national thing.
Okay.
Meaning it's not I don't take it down to the individual level. Correct, because then when a chayal is in a dangerous situation,
right
it's crazy. It's war. But there is, if I recall correctly, right, when you look at the list of the battles of Sichon and Og, how many people died in the battle at the end of last week's parsha? Just look it up. Look it up. They did a count. How many people were missing? Do you have it? Do you have the whole five books at the end of last week's parsha?
No,
oh, somebody left it.
No, this is just
What? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like this, it caught my eye when they were doing a count after, what? The end of Matot. Let me see, at the end of Matot. Let me see if I can find it. I don't want to spend a lot of time looking for it here. One second. Before the Gidrot Son, they counted. Okay. Here. Vayomru el Moshe. Avadecha nasu et rosh anshei amilchama asher biyadenu. Your servants took a census of the men of the war under our command. Velo nifkad mimenu ish. Got it. No one was missing. Is that normal?
No.
No. You don't go to battle. 12,000, what? 12,000 to 24,000 soldiers? Nobody died. That's impossible. Unless it was a nice. Meaning, could it be that that's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu was saying to them? Yes, you have to go fight, but you are just my emissaries. And that if we really believed, if we really had emuna, that this is what was happening, would it happen again? It's great. Really, that's the nature of the thing.
Every single Jew has faith that it will protect the soldiers.
Yes.
Every single person. Or the majority.
Do we have a national feeling that when we send our soldiers to war, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind them? Is there that sense? Or is it the sense that we send our soldiers to war with the best technology possible and whatever happens, happens? Do you have that sense? What?
It depends who you ask, I think.
Right.
What's that? I don't think there's a national.
I don't think so either. But I think that we have a part to play in that conversation. You know, by the way, that's a very big debate in Israeli circles. You know, that they just demoted or fired or whatever. They did not continue the service of Rav Ronsky, who was the Rav Hatzvai HaRashi. And the huge controversial aspect of Rav Ronsky that people did not like was he believed the Rabbanim Rashi, the Rabbanim Tzvaim, were not just there to make sure you had tzitzis and to make sure that you had a sidur and whatever. They were there to encourage the fighters in the middle of the battle. And to be a Rav Tzvai was to be encouraging and to be with your soldiers and to explain to them you're doing God's work. But a strong element in Israeli society did not like that because they used a very, very loaded word. They described it as, anybody know? Jihad. What's jihad?
Religious war.
Religious war. We're not jihadists. What?
They use that word?
Yeah, sure. In the press?
Is there a Hebrew equivalent?
Mechemet Hashem. Sure, the Rambam talks about it. You know what the Rambam says? When a soldier goes out to fight, when a Jewish soldier goes out to fight, he has to believe that he's fighting God's war, and he's doing holy work, and he's representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe in jihad. Right? We believe in that. Of course I'm doing God's work, because if I wasn't doing God's work, why would I go fight? I'm a person in the Torah. This is a debate. Right? And it's important for us to... But there's no contradiction. That's exactly the point. But the point of... Right. The point of...
There's no
atheist. The point of someone who's a religious soldier who comes from this perspective thinks that there's no distinction in his Avodat Hashem between davening and going to fight. Correct.
They also don't think they have to marry religiously. They also don't think they have to be buried religiously.
I don't want to go into us versus them. What you asked me was, do we as a... I'm really hard, trying hard. Do we as a nation have that... Do we as a nation have that faith? And I think if you would ask deep down, there is an element of that, but it needs to be brought out.
Because, whenever politician speaks before a war, they're going to battle, they always say that you should, That God should
protect you. Yes. But are you fighting God's fight? That's a very loaded statement.
Very loaded statement.
Very loaded statement, especially in the world in which we live today. Okay, that's what Rashi says. You didn't believe.
Wait, is that the only reason why they...
You don't believe. What?
Is that the only reason?
No, it's not that they fired him. They didn't continue his service. They had picked somebody else. But normally, Rabbanim Rashim could continue if they don't make waves. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to change, and he very much affected the... this notion in the army, and there's a lot of, what? Very well liked. But it's very controversial to do that. You're changing a value, you're changing an ethic in the army. And there's a lot of, right, exactly. There's a lot of It's very sensitive, and I hope the new Rabbi Rashi also continues. You have to know how to continue and make inroads. When you want to change an attitude, an underlying attitude, you're gonna have controversy. It's not gonna be simple. Okay, so that's what Rashi says means is the interpretation that with Dibar Hazeh. I have those of you have it. If you have Orach Chaim, anybody else have it? You have Orach Chaim on page Lamed Aleph, Orach Chaim on Pasuk Lamed Bet. Ubadavar Hazeh. Sarich Ladat Kavanat Omro Ubadavar Hazeh. What does it mean Ubadavar Hazeh? What didn't you believe? Rashi Pirish Al Haftachad Biat Haaretz Umedaber. Rashi says they didn't believe that they were going to go into the land. Ve'ein Yirakim. I don't think so. Ela Kipshat Hakatuv Sha'al Nisei Midbar. Asher hu nisa'am Hashem, ka'asher yisa ish et beno. The idea, the miracles in the desert, and this notion that it is as if a person, just like a father, carries his son, but davar hazeh eina ma'aminim. Meaning, they're in the middle of the miracles in the desert, they're looking at the miracles, they're watching them, and what? They still don't believe. Why don't they believe?
They think they're nature.
They don't believe that it really comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'zelecha ha'od omro, and this is what it means when it says, I'm continuing, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin, okay, is God in our midst, u'kamashal shehivi bazohar, and it's like the mashal that was brought in the Zohar, al ha'av shenasa b'no al ktefo. So now this midrash, I quoted you for the midrash from the Psikta, but it clearly made its way into the Zohar as well, okay? So this is the notion. What didn't they believe? Do they not believe what's going to happen in the future? Or is a lack of faith predicated upon what you see around you right now? And I believe blah, 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 blah. What is emunah? Is emunah what I think will happen? What I believe will happen? Or is emunah the way I live my life today?
If you don't have,
I've seen
it.
Loyalty.
What do you mean?
Loyalty to Hashem.
In what way?
Ne'eman, emunah. It's the same.
Ah, very good. What does the word emunah mean? I was thinking about amen. This before. Amen. Meaning what? No, we say amen. We say abracha. Amen. What?
It is so.
It is so. Emunah. This is true. But I'm trying to figure out what the word emunah means. What are emunim? Anybody know? There are a lot of words.
Oh, emunim. That swear allegiance.
Emunim. Right. No,
to be loyal to. Well, to swear allegiance to.
Yeah, simcha emunim? Practice. Drills.
Oh, hitamim.
Hitamim means?
To practice.
To practice. Well, hitamim, when you practice something, you instill it within yourself. Okay? And this is the idea that I want to sort of hit upon. Is emunah... Well, I'm going to say it. I'll say it, I'm not going to ask it. Emunah is what we believe, but more importantly, I believe, it's not just what we believe in our hearts, it's how we actualize that belief in the way we live our lives. Expand, please.
Emunah is expressed in your actions. Well, he takes it to the nth degree. He says emunah is expressed through your actions when it's put on the line, when it's threatened. When your religiosity and Jewishness is threatened, do you show your emunah by standing strong against that threat?
Okay.
And so he says that it's a mitzvah ha'amin v'Hashem.
What's that?
It's a mitzvah ha'amin v'Hashem, and the mitzvah is that in times of threat that you still stand.
See,
true.
But I would argue, not to the chinuch chas v'shalom,
but
I would
only
say
that
no. I would say that happens more often than we let on. Meaning,
yesterday there was a whole group. I thought about it. There was a whole group of teachers. Something happened at a teachers' meeting that upset a large group of teachers. And afterwards, the teachers were all talking about it and like really saying very not nice things about it, about the person who presented these ideas. And I was so uncomfortable because I wanted to like stop them and say, "This is Lashon Hara. We're in the 9 days." But I, who am I? I'm like the sub who's American. So I didn't see anything.
You want to ostracize yourself right away?
And then this woman got into the car. Right. Then this like more a veteran Israeli teacher gets into the car, and she's like, "You know, Chevra, come on. This is the 9 days. We don't talk like this. We have to be really careful." And I was thinking, thank you, but how come she was able to do it and I didn't have the guts to do that?
Ah, interesting. I was thinking more along the lines like, a lot of times we make choices in our lives based on faith that we have to move forward. Obviously, the biggest one in all of our minds is to move here, to live here. That's all as our lead. But you know, choices about where we're going to live and having children and et cetera, we say, how's it going to work? How's it going to work? How am I going to be able to manage this? Am I going to be able to handle it? So obviously, part of that is knowing yourself. But a lot of that is also, what's that? Correct. Meaning, you know, and this is something that we struggle with, having a faith that if the Torah gives clear guidance, you should do X, Y, Z, to say, well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me guidance in doing this, and I know that there's a clear message, then I'll be able to work it out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me the strength to be able to do that. And I think that's something that actually we in the modern Orthodox community struggle with more. Like, we sometimes side on the side of our doubts as opposed to on the side of our faith.
Can I ask something? Yeah. I think that's really often, the other half is afterwards when you've been successful to say, I have this child because Hashem allowed me to have this child. Or, and I had a successful aliyah because of Hashem's help.
Yes.
And he will help
because so of only your ability.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's that character talk afterwards also.
I totally agree. I think that's the second half. And that's what I think this idea of Einchem Ma'aminim B'Hashem Elokeichem. It's not just you don't believe what will happen. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect me. Right? Do you see what's happening around you now as Yad Hashem? And if you see what's happening around you now, then there's no difference between now and tomorrow. You know? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He'll be here tomorrow. Just like he was here with me yesterday and he's here with me today. And so it becomes easier to act. Let's read on a little bit. I want to get to one more issue. Vayishma Hashem et kol divreichem. God heard your words. Vayiktzof, vayishava lemor. Vayiktzof, he became enraged and he swore the following. Meaning, I think it's easier to understand God's rage, God's anger, if it's not just you're worried about the future. Okay, worried about the future. We all worry about the future. But if I'm sitting right here and I'm protecting you and I'm giving you food and water and sustaining you, and you still are looking me in the face and saying, I can't see you, that would really tick me off. That would get me angry. So God says, you know what? Im yir'eh ish ba'anashim ha'eleh hador hara azeh et ha'aretz atova shenishvati latet la'avotechem. Okay, then you're not going to see the land that I promised you. Zulati, other than Kalev ben Yefuneh, hu yir'ena, v'lo etein et ha'aretz asher darach ba'olivanav, ya'an asher milei acharei Hashem. Because he was malei, he was complete after God. What does it mean that he was complete after God? How? So it's interesting.
Yeah. It said it in Shlach also, it uses the same language.
Very good.
But what I noticed is that the word Ya'an is also used to explain.
Oh, so good.
We are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael.
When?
That's
so good. That's such a good call. Ya'an, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Bamidbar. Ya'an, but what's the verb that goes with it? Lo he'emantem bi. Right? You didn't have Emuna, somehow, Moshe and Aaron. What does it mean, Asher Darach? I wanted to point this out. Rashi says, what was unique about Kalev? What did he do that was so special? What did he do that was so unique? What did he do? He Darach, he went. Where did he go? Rashi, Asher Darach, Chevron. What's so special about Chevron? What did he do, Chevron? Ma'arad HaMachpelah. Right, what is the symbology of Ma'arad HaMachpelah and Chevron? Who's there, obviously?
Avram.
Right. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, if anything, they symbolize this idea of Emunah. Avraham was willing to put his sort of fate in Hashem's arms and say, whatever you say, the Seder. Right? We'll work it out. The Avot, in general, they symbolize this notion of putting your trust in God. Kalev, he needed that. He went back to the source. Right? And the Chazal talk about that. Why was Kalev able to stand up against everybody else? Because he had the strength from the Avot. So now we'll turn to one more pasuk. Lam Zayin. Gam bi hit'anaf Hashem biglalchem lemor. Gam ata lo tavosham. Hashem also hit'anaf. What's hit'anaf? Was angry? A lot of words for anger here, by the way. God was also angry at me. Biglalchem, because of you, lemor, saying, Gam ata lo tavosham. You also won't go there. Why? Yoshua bin Nun ha'amed lefanecha hu yavoshama oto chazek ki hu yanchilena ta'aretz. There's obviously a huge, huge problem with Pasuk Lamed Zayin.
It's not true.
Right. What?
It's not true.
It's not true. What do you mean it's not true?
Hashem told him he's not going to enter because of
Minari. Right. What in the world? Right? How can Moshe Rabbeinu say, it's your fault? When in reality, we all read in Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu got punished for and was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael because of?
His fault.
His fault. Anybody want to throw out answers? Why? How can Moshe blame the people? Biglalchem. Biglalchem.
So they influenced
his emunah? No, that'd be hard. Moshe Rabbeinu.
Because he was frustrated because of the way that they were acting, and so he acted out in anger.
Okay, a possibility A. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu act out in anger? Because he lost patience with them. So there, it wasn't the direct cause. He wasn't punished because of the meraglim, but he was punished because. He was punished because of the result of the actions. Anybody else? Any other suggestions? That's it?
Not self-aware, not willing to own up to it.
Right. How do we do this without like totally criticizing Moshe Rabbeinu?
I mean, if we weren't respectful of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what we would say. If we were psychologists, if we were looking at the picture without religious fear,
it's all your fault. He is blaming them. Yeah, but we're not, and we do.
Then I won't offer it as a suggestion.
What's that?
Then I won't offer it as a suggestion.
Correct. We have to ask ourselves, what?
I think it should be dealt with.
What do you mean?
Respect. Meaning.
But I don't think it's Moshe Rabbeinu's bitter psychology blaming them. He knows he's not getting in. So what's he trying to say to them? Let's assume that Moshe Rabbeinu has a presence of mind to know he's transmitting a message to them. He's trying to be, on the one hand, rebuking them, but at the same time, encouraging them. Okay, so. Wow, you're really struggling here.
It's hard. Dora's position makes a lot of sense.
Says the Midrash, okay? Bo ure'e shebishvil avon hador nitfesim gidolei hador. Meaning what? Leaders are responsible for the behavior of their followers. Biglalchem. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu exhibited the behavior, but that he ultimately is responsible for their lack of faith. And there's a certain truth to that. If you see your people not relating to the things around you properly, then you are responsible to, in some ways, instill in them that sense of faith. Right? It could very well be Moshe's shortcoming, tell me if you like this one, was his inability to see their lack of faith. Meaning, when they came to Moshe and they said, where's God? What was Moshe's response, essentially? Where's God? Hello? You woke up this morning? You saw the sun? You saw the sky? I mean, forget the rock pouring out water. God is all around you. He was unable, and I've said this before, but very often, leaders who are really powerful leaders, spiritual leaders, are unable to appreciate the spiritual shortcomings of the people who follow them. I had this phenomenon when
That's
I was
when
in...
Aaron came
what?
In. That's
where Aaron came in. That's true. So Aaron's failing was, I guess, seeing the other side. But like I had this rab once in YU. An infinite exponential level of brilliance above me. Okay? Thank you. And she is now... Captured by, okay, anyway.
You allow babies to this year.
I do allow babies this year. Okay. I encourage them. No, I allow them. And I was studying for his Bechina at the end of the semester. I studied like weeks and weeks. I studied for like days, literally. I would, for the first few semesters, I would get up in the morning during reading week. Reading week is supposed to be for like college stuff. No. I spent from all reading week. From 9 in the morning to 8 at night, I ate 3 meals a day in the base bed, studying for this test, and got a C Bekoshi. It was an unbelievable test. And I don't think of myself as stupid. And I went to him and I said, it's so hard. And he said, I don't understand. I just asked what the Yishonim say. I was like, come on. He read it and he remembered it. He knew it. It was like there. but I'm not there. It wasn't, I was not able. You know what I'm saying? So Moshe Rabbeinu got up in the morning and he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. But the Jewish people did not. Because of his greatness, he was unable to see their shortcoming, their weakness, their failure. What's that?
I think we do the same thing to our children.
Meaning? Go ahead.
Meaning, like, we have expectations of certain things. Like, what do you mean you're not?
You didn't wash your hands after you left the bathroom.
Yeah, that's on the list.
That's on the list, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, then...
So then what's our responsibility? The responsibility is to, how shall we say this?
To acknowledge that where they're struggling and try to help them.
Correct. To get down to their level, in a sense. Not to get down to their level, but to see things from their level.
Right, or, you know, sometimes, like, even as parents, we do this also, to, like, we gloss over our kids' shortcomings.
Yes. Yes, we do. And at their peril. At their peril. Okay.
And the opposite is true, also, parental responsibility, like, the way parents are responsible for their children's actions. So the leader is, Gilu, the president of Israel, is responsible for the IBS actions, and
Prime Minister, right. Right. I'm going to read you Kli Yakar, and with this we'll conclude. Kli Yakar says, we learned this in Meir Meribah, he says, She'ilu hayu b'Yisrael banim emun bam. If the Jewish people were banim emun bam, they had real faith. V'lo hayu mikatnei emunah. And they weren't of little faith. Lo haya onsho shel Moshe gadol ad shelo al shelo garam la'amin. Meaning, Hashem says to them, La'an lo he'emantem bi. It wasn't that you, Moshe, didn't have faith in me. Of course you have faith. You didn't cause them to have faith in me. I wanted you to talk to the rock, and they would know God's presence. I don't want you to hit the rock. Hitting the rock for whatever reason, yeah, anybody can hit a rock. That's an old trick. I wanted you to talk to the rock. I wanted something new, whatever reason. You didn't cause them to have faith. But what does that stem from? It stems from, because of your lack of faith, my action had that much more ramification. Yes, I made a mistake. But it was blown up by the fact that I was dealing with the people who needed that encouragement. And you didn't have it. And I think that is a very, telling thing for us. He says, one second, Aval, but, Im mikadmat dena hayu chazakim be'emunah, if you were of strong faith, lo yatzorach kol kach lasot bifnehem nisim, you wouldn't have needed it. You wouldn't have needed great miracles. And I didn't do the right miracle. I made a mistake. All right. But what's the ramifications of the mistake? And the ramifications come from the fact that you didn't really see God's presence. And that magnifies the mistake. That magnifies the problem. And I think it's a great lesson for us. It's a really important lesson, like you said, that just having this... something we all need to really work on all the time. And the more we have it, the better off we are. To not just to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and not just say, well, what does it mean for the future? What does it mean for me today? What do I appreciate today? What do I have today because of it? And it really does affect often some of the smaller decisions that we make or the smaller ways we react to things, you know. After all was said and done, the whole car thing, I was rather proud of myself. I toot my own horn because I didn't lose it. And in the past, I might have. What? It's huge. You know, in the past, I really might have. Because it's really annoying. It's really a big deal to you know, you'll all see on the way out. You'll know what I mean. But it isn't. You know what I'm saying? And growth comes from seeing the small things for the small things and the large things for the large things. And thank God no one was hurt. And it's just a thing. You know what I'm saying? But that perspective requires a larger perspective because, you know, and the guy I whose car I hit, he like, you know, of course with the SUV, when you like scrape on it, like nothing happens to his car, you know what I'm saying? But he said, no, he was like, he's an Israeli gearing up for a fight, but, and then when I said, I hit you, I'm sorry. He was like, he calmed down right away and he said, no, kapara malaso. He took my name and my phone number and he said, I'll call you. And he drove away. You know, that reaction stems from, no, Maka, you know, what are you going to do? I want to read off by being a little critical. This is the OU Jewish Action magazine. Okay? And anybody read that? Get the Jewish Action? You all get the Jewish Action? What? In the States you did. This is an article a woman's writing about Tefillah HaDerech. Okay? And I want to focus on this idea of Emunah as being the future or the past. Let me see if I can get that. Okay, thanks. So she says, she's worrying about Tfilat HaDerech and like now it really is relevant to her. It says, it occurs to me that it's time for Mashiach. Maybe even before this flight takes off. I calm myself reflecting that when he finally comes, a lot of people will be thrown out of work. First to go will be that beady-eyed girl with the clipboard at the LL terminal. You understand why I ask you these questions. Doctors will head to the nearest kollel. The entire military will retrain in driving traffic. When that big chauffeur blows, x-ray scanners will be cast aside, and we will dance onto the planes taking us to Eretz Yisrael, as baggage handlers cheerfully gently load our belongings aboard. It's a lovely picture, right?
That's not what Rambam says.
That's not my vision of Emunah. That's not my vision of Emunah. My vision of Emunah isn't, when Mashiach comes, it will be perfect for me, so then I will go. My vision of Emunah is, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me now? And so I'm going to go even though I'm not dancing aboard with gentle baggage carriers.
And you should break to that.
We did dance aboard, by the way. I hate to break to you. My reaction was, you have an opportunity to be dancing when you come to Eretz Yisrael. That is right now. Because there will come a time, right, when people will come to Eretz Yisrael, but they won't be dancing, and they won't be on planes, and it won't be so easy. And this is, by the way, the message from Baragnim. If you look at over, the people the next day, they got up the very next day, and they said, "Oi, you were right. You know, you were right, Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Amunah, we're going." And Moshe said to them, sorry, too late. There's a window, Emunah has a window of opportunity. It does. That's just the way it works. Right? You have the Emunah to do what you need to do. Not that I believe, ani ma'amin, that it will come. But I believe that it's here right now. And if I believe that Emunah is here right now, that will motivate me to do X, Y, Z. Because if you decide afterwards, I should have done X, Y, Z, I wish I had done.
Yeah. Box
correct. Correct. But it's not just, I mean, of course, it's very easy for us here, and I don't think I do it enough. You know, we're all 2 years in now. Most of us are 2 years in. Right? 1 year in. Mazda. Right?
14.
What?
14.
Maybe you're like way ahead of us. And well, this is where we're celebrating our 2 year anniversary. And the farther away you get, the less you, like, the more you should take it for granted. You shouldn't take it for granted. Shada. Kol hakavod. Never easy. But that's not just what it's about. It's time for us to move on. You know what I'm saying, in a sense? And to say, Achshav, now what? What does it motivate us to do? Where is my Emunah supposed to take me now? And it's not like, oh, I believe that, you know, one day it'll be all great and we'll be dancing gently aboard. It's a very, very scary picture when I read that. I was really frightened by it.
But that's really what American Jews
do. Yes, it is. Yeah. I was really frightened by it. Really frightened by it.
And they really don't feel any need to be here.
No. But I'm talking about this notion of Emunah. Emunah is it'll all work out in the end. No, it's not. Emunah is Hashem is here for me now. And if Hashem is really here for me now, that affects what I do now. Not it'll all be good in the end. Okay, stop.